You will turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and starting with verse 1. I give them time to get turned over, and everybody get a chance to turn over in your Bible. Get them a chance to get it up on the on here. And I was reading through some scriptures, and I remembered Brother Josh Harless. He loves the book of Nehemiah. And me and Brother Josh, we share a special bond with each other. And I flipped over and I started reading, and the Holy Spirit started to move, and he gave me several thoughts. And I know there's different kinds of preachers, and they study things out, and not saying I don't. I do study things out, but he gives me a thought, and I preach on those thoughts, and a lot of people call those thought preachers. But Brother Matt, that doesn't matter. When he calls you to preach, you preach, no matter how you do it. Amen. And I thank the Lord for giving me this word today. But before we get going here, let's go ahead and read this scripture. Nehemiah chapter 2. I hadn't even turned over yet. Nehemiah chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And the king said, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to God, to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant has found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's force, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me. Let's all bow our head, please. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for everything. For the air we breathe, for the sights we see, for the rain, Lord, that you've given us today, and for the snow that's coming, Lord. Even though we all don't like it sometimes, we thank you for those things. But most of all, I want to thank you for Jesus, your Son, who came as a babe here, Lord, born of a virgin in a little no-name town, lived like a common man so he could see what we see, and lay his life down for an old sinner like me, and claim victory over hell, death, and the grave. Lord, help me today to preach this the way that you want it to be preached, and keep your spirit on this church throughout the service, Lord. And it's in Jesus' sweet and precious name we pray, and amen and amen. Now, a little background here on Nehemiah. In chapter 1, if you guys, I'm a person, when somebody gives me scripture and while they're preaching, I listen and I'll read a few scriptures before and some scriptures after. So I want to see what's going on about what that person is reading or preaching about. But he ran into one of his brethren, and some believe that this was his brother. Hananiah told Nehemiah about the situation in Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, the gates were burned, and there was great affliction to the people by their enemies. Now, Nehemiah, he got a burden, church, a burden for God's people, a burden for the city of Jerusalem, a burden for the city of Nehemiah's fathers, not a city he had ever even seen. You guys have a burden for a city that y'all ain't seen. I got a burden for the city of heaven to be there. Amen. He was captured at a very young age and he was brought into servitude to the king. And he found favor with the king. And he became the king's cupbearer, which was a very trusted position. And I believe the king liked Nehemiah. And I think he noticed this burden look that Nehemiah had and how he carried himself. And I believe Nehemiah was kind of like me, that he probably carried his emotions out on his sleeve. If you guys know people like that, you can see if there's something wrong with him. And I think he was thinking, what a mess Jerusalem is in. What a mess God's people are in. What a bad shape. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you know what, church? He did something. In chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, he prayed. One of the most beautiful prayers you've ever heard. If you read that, that is a beautiful prayer. He prayed to God. And you know what, church? When we have a problem or a situation or anything going on in our lives, that's what we need to do. We need to take it straight to God. Take it straight to God. I don't want anybody to get mad at me today. But before you take it to the pastor, take it to the master. Amen? Take it to the master. We don't have to go to the Pope. We don't have to go to a bishop. We don't have to go to a deacon. We don't have to go to another brother or sister in the church. We can take it straight to Him, Brother Matt. The veil was torn so we could have that capability to do that. Take it straight to the master. But Nehemiah was burdened. Burdened for the house of God. Just like we should be today. Burdened for God's people. Burdened for the lost. Burdened for God's people to be on fire and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Burdened to be revived today. Burdened to see souls saved. Burdened to see the backslidden to come home. And burdened to see God lifted up in everything that we do. Amen. Amen, church. I'm going to start amening myself. Come on now. We can do better now. Nehemiah was burdened. Are we burdened today? Do we have a burden? And I'm telling you today, I preach Sunday after Sunday in different communities, in different churches. And I'm telling you today, Brother Matt, the walls are torn down. The walls are torn down. The gates are burnt. And the place is all a mess. They don't talk about God anymore. You go out into your community, how many people talk to you about God? Huh? Let alone the Lamb of God. They don't talk about the Prince of Peace or the Lily of the Valley, Brother Matt, or the bright morning star. They don't talk about the Root of David or the Rose of Sharon, the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords. They want to talk about how much money they bring in. They want to talk about what they did. Praise God, we go to a church that we talk about what God's done in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for sending me here. Amen. I just want to say that we want to talk about Jesus here. Amen. I just wish I had a few more names to name Him today. Amen. We need to thank God for what we have here. But let me tell you, Nehemiah was burdened. In chapter 1, he was burdened for God. And Nehemiah was burdened for his homeland. And we've got a homeland to look forward to. So he was burdened for the Holy Spirit. And we need to be burdened for the Holy Spirit to fill our churches today. So instead of us sitting around like a bunch of people frozen in our seats, we won't be part of that church of the frozen chosen anymore. Amen. We'll be part of God's church, the church. Amen. Amen. But I'm burdened to see our people set on fire, to see us filled with the Holy Spirit, to be burdened to see that homeland. And we need to be burdened. And I want to praise and worship God in everything that I do, no matter if I'm preaching or if I'm working. Amen, Brother John. That's all right. My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed today? Amen. Amen. That's not a Pentecostal thing to say amen. That's not a Baptist thing to get excited. It's not a Methodist thing. Well, it might be a Methodist thing to sit back. But that's okay. Hey, they know Jesus too. We need to say amen. Listen, guys, say it with a little ump in us a little bit. Get excited. Amen. I know I'm a little different than the way Doug preaches it. This ain't a word of light thing. It's a Jesus thing today. Amen. Amen. You know, I think about Moses, Brother Matt, and he was burdened for God's people. Amen. Moses was burdened. And he went up on a mountain and he came into a burning bush. He got in the presence of God, church. got in close. Moses, he was barefoot and blessed, Brother Matt. Amen. And God told Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Amen. He was in the presence of God. And I tell you, church, Moses took his burden to God. Amen. And it changed him. And it'll change you. He even looked different. My Bible says he had to wear a veil for a time after because his presence changed. He got so close. Whew! I tell you, when my papa got saved, I was just a young boy, Brother Matt. And I remember when he come, like two or three days later, I never noticed. I went over and then I got to see my papa and I looked and I'm like, wow, he looks different. Well, what's this? And Mom said, he got saved. Hey, as a little kid, that's exciting to see a difference in somebody. Listen, there's a change that happens in your life today. When you turn yourself over to God, you change on the inside and on the outside. Amen. He looked different. And from then on, Moses wanted to be in the presence of God. And I tell you, I want to be there all the time, Brother Matt. It'll change you. It'll change you. And we should have that want to. That burden to be in the presence of God. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, I'll tell you, when we start praising God and the presence of God shows up in our churches and in our lives, saints get washed up and sinners get saved up. Amen. We need to start warming up a little bit, church. Get excited. Do you have a burden for the presence of God? Do you have a burden for that today? Nehemiah had a burden for God's people, a burden for God's house, a burden for God's city. Do you have a burden for your city, for your community? Do you have that burden? Because I can tell you, church, the churches are failing today. Not just us, everybody. Drugs, alcohol, the abuse that's going on in our communities today is sad. It is sad. And we are failing. We are failing. Nehemiah had a burden and it showed. Maybe I think he might have even had a tear, maybe, going down his cheek, Brother Matt. And he wasn't that happy-go-lucky, chipper kind of guy that usually showed up and the king noticed. The king noticed, Brother Matt. And I'm telling you today, if you get a burden and you start hurting, the king is going to notice. And if you take it to him, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you should have a burden for your class. Amen. Amen. If you work at Toyota, you ought to have a burden for the people that works with you. Amen. If you're an evangelist, you ought to have a burden for the churches when you go preach for them, Brother Matt. If you're a praise and worship leader, Brother Zach, you ought to have a burden for the ones that you're singing to. Amen. We should have a burden for God, for what God has put in our life to do. And I'll tell you, if you play the piano, if you sweep the floors, if you shovel the snow, if you carry out the trash, you ought to have a burden to carry the trash out for the church today. Amen. Amen. Ask God for something to do. He'll put it in your life. And if he don't, come and ask me and Don, we'll give you something to do. Amen. Amen. The king will notice. The king will notice. Nehemiah looked burdened. He looked burdened. And the king asked if he was okay. I think he might have even reached out and took his hand and touched his head and said, I don't think you feel sick. You don't look sick. I'm not sure. There's something different. And I'll tell you, church, Nehemiah meant something to the king. He must have. If he didn't have, the king would have had him killed instantly for coming into his presence in that shape. Coming into his presence being sad. Part of Nehemiah's job was to be that chipper, happy-go-lucky guy and to uplift the king. The king noticed something was wrong and he asked what it was. And Nehemiah said, why shouldn't I be sad? The city of my father's sepulchers and the place of worship are all torn down. The gates are burnt up. And my people are enduring much affliction. He talked to the king, Brother Matt. He had a talk with the king. Why? Because he had a burden. He had a burden. We need a burden today, church, for our lives, for our family, for our communities, for our church. Nehemiah knew he wouldn't have even made it to the river before the enemy would have gotten him. If you notice in the scripture, he knew he couldn't have made it anywhere or got what he needed before the enemy would have caught him and stomped him out. So I'm going to go have a talk with the king. With the king. I know I can't do it in Nehemiah's name. I'm sure that's what he was saying. I know I can't do it in John Smith's name. I can't do it in Brother Doug's name or Brother Don's name, Brother Matt's name or Brother Dave's name. I can't do it in those names. But I'll tell you today, there's a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I can't come in my name. I can't come in my name, and neither can you. But there's a name above all names. A name that some people call Jehovah Jireh. Amen. My provider. Some call him Jehovah Rapha. My healer. Some Jehovah Nisi, Brother Man. That's my favorite because he's my banner. And it means you will never lose. I hate to lose, church. How about y'all? He's my banner. Jehovah Shalom. God of peace. Jehovah Shammah, God is with us. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, our protector. Jehovah Ra, our shepherd. He is my shepherd and he's your shepherd. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. We come in the name of Jesus today. Amen. Come in the name of the King. And he'll get the job done. Let me tell you a little story. It's okay if I come out here, right? I'll tell you, if it ain't, I'm going to do it anyway. Tell you a little story. You guys know the Civil War. There's a guy back here in the back I know knows the Civil War. He loves it, studies it more than anybody I know. This is based on a true story. He's Abraham Lincoln. Y'all know Abraham Lincoln, right? Okay. There was this guy. He was fighting for the North. Found out that his wife had cancer and was dying. And he had two sons that were also fighting in the war. So they let him go home, but he couldn't get in contact with his two sons so they could go see his mommy, see their mommy. And so the dad went to Washington, D.C., Brother Matt. He walked up to the gates and he said, "I want to see the president." And they said, "Sir, you can't get in to see the president." You guys ever go to D.C.? You ever go try to see the president? You just can't go see the president. Okay? This guy went up to the gates and asked to see the president. Couldn't see him. But he noticed this little boy was running around just playing everywhere out in the yard. He goes over and he sits down. That little boy runs over and he says, "Hey, mister, what's wrong?" He said, "Well," he said, "my wife's dying of cancer and I got two boys that's fighting in the war and I'd like for them to come and see their mommy before she dies." And he said, "I need to go see the president so they can call for my sons to come back." And the little boy said, "Well, come over here with me." So the little boy runs on his side of the fence, and he goes on his side of the fence, and goes over to the guards. He says, "He's with me." So they let him go right on through. He goes up to the door, knocks on the door, and opens the door, and he goes, "He's with me." They come right on in. He goes in two or three doors, has to go through guard after guard after guard, and he gets to the main doors, and he opens them up. And there stands a big old figure in the background, Brother Matt. Big old tall hat on and a beard. He opens the door and he says, "He's with me." He said, "What can I do for you, son?" "What can I do for you, son?" Let me tell you, church, if you've got a problem, take it to Jesus. Because he will take it straight to the Father. He'll take it straight to God. And I'm telling you, church, when it comes off the son's lips, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, when he takes it to God, it's going to happen. That's what I'm talking about today. And according to the story, Brother Brian, I know you're a historian. According to the story, he got the two boys to come back and see their mommy before she died. Amen. What a beautiful story. A beautiful story how we can relate it to how God can work in our lives today. Amen. If you've got a problem, you need to take it to the Son, and the Son will take it to the Father. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah told the king he needed a letter. And I want to tell you, church, if I was to title my sermon today, it would be A Letter from the King. A letter from the King. He wanted a letter to the keeper of the king's forest. A keeper to all the governors or leaders of the countries that he was going to have to go through. To all those beyond the river. Let me tell you, Brother Josh, I want to see her brother. Brother Matt, I want to see a river someday. You don't look nothing like Brother Josh. That's okay. I want to see that river someday. One that's so clean and so clear. That's just running by the throne. It's so crystal clear. This is a different river that he was talking about. And I could see Nehemiah's friend saying, "What you got there, Nehemiah? What you got?" He goes, "I got me a letter. Not just any letter. I got me a letter from the king." And let me tell you, church, I got a letter from the king too. I'm not talking about King James. I'm not talking about any of the others. I'm talking about King Jesus, church. I'm telling you, we got that letter today. And if we take that letter and we apply it to our lives, the gates that are burnt down, the communities that are in disarray, if we take that and apply it to our lives today, that letter that God has given us, it'll change things. It'll change things. We want to be too politically correct about things. We want to be too politically correct. I'm proud of the Word of God. I'm proud that He gave it to each one of us. I love the Word of God. How about you? How about you? I could see Nehemiah carrying this letter from king to king, from place to place, and him walking into the king's forest, and he says, "Hey, I got me a letter from the king. This is what I want. I don't want just any trees. I want the best of the trees that you got. I want the oaks and the walnuts and the hickories. Don't give me that old poplar and sycamore. I don't want that stuff. I want the best because I got me a letter from the king." How about you today? In that letter, you'll find substance. You'll find peace. You'll find promises. And you'll find, Brother Matt, that no weapon formed against you shall stand. Amen. You'll also find that there is a way, a truth, and a life. Amen. And no man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a way out of the mess that you're in today. There's a way out. A way to beat every single enemy in your life. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Also, he shall never leave you or forsake you. And he'll be with you until the end. And I want to tell you, church, I got a letter from the king. I just stopped by to tell you about it today. I want to tell you that he's still on the throne, Brother Matt. He's still in charge. And it ain't over until God says it's over. My Bible says Jesus don't even know. He's waiting on God to say, "Go get him. Go get him." Do you have your letter? Do you have your letter? Turn with me to over, same one. We're going to go to verse 8 and 9. "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came unto the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letter, and the king had sent captains of the army of horsemen with me." Amen. Amen and amen. Nehemiah looked around and said, "I'm not alone. I'm not alone." I know there's times in everybody's life they probably look around, Brother Tim, they look around and they say, "I think I'm alone in this." But I tell you what, if they open up their spiritual eyes, they'll see that they're not alone. They'll see. Now let me tell you here quickly, we're not alone. You guys know the story of Elijah. Me and Brother Matt was just talking about it there a while ago, Elisha and Elijah. But Elijah had a servant, and the Assyrian army was following after him, and they wanted to kill him. They was after him because he was prophesying of things to come. This Assyrian army was after him, and they wanted to kill him. So they surrounded him in the middle of the night, and they're just in their tent, and I believe Elijah slept sound. He probably even snored louder than me, Trace. I know it's probably hard to believe, but I think he had a wonderful night's sleep, had no worries. But they went to sleep in their tent, and the servant got up early in the morning, and he walked outside the tent, and the sight that he saw was thousands of soldiers. My Bible says, Brother Matt, there could have been 50,000 soldiers that were surrounding him. Can you imagine two men in a tent knowing that they're going to get killed and they're sitting there in the middle of 50,000 people all surrounding them? What you would have thought? I know everybody reads that and they go, that poor old servant. Let me tell you what, if you was in that situation, you would have been the servant. I would have been that servant. He went back into the tent, and I believe he was probably scared, probably a little white. And Elijah came out to see what was going on, and he said, we're in a mess. Elijah was like, hold on just a second. Hold on. And then his servant said, do you see, Elijah? Can you see all these people, all these enemies? They're about ready to kill us. We need to run. And I think Elijah said, do you not know who I've been preaching about? Do you not know my Jehovah Sabaoth, our protector? My Jehovah Nisi, my banner? Because we will never lose. God, will you just open his eyes? Will you open my servant's eyes today? And Brother Matt, the servant opened his eyes and he looked around and he saw a heavenly host of God's warriors all around. And he looked back at Elijah and he said, there'll be more with us than against us, Brother Matt. Amen. That's how it is in our lives today. If we will ever get to the point that we can open up our spiritual eyes, we will see that there is more with us than are against us. Amen. Amen. You guys want to know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God blinded 50,000 men so that them two could walk through and be untouched. Amazing how that happened, huh? Probably a fluke, Matt. What do you think? No, it wasn't. It was God. It was God. In this letter from the king for Nehemiah, there was protection. There was peace. There was substance. And there was a boldness about Nehemiah. If you read on over in chapter 3, you'll find that Nehemiah got bold. And he marched all the way down to Jerusalem. And he got about God's business. God's business, church. Now, I'm not talking about our business. He got about God's business. And he rebuilt those walls. And he rebuilt those gates. We should have that boldness about us. Because we got a letter from the king. And guys, this letter from the king is more than just a book. It's more than just a book. We need to be bold in our communities, church. We need to be bold. And when we march out with Jesus. You know, trying to think of the name of the church up here. Tays Valley Baptist Church. You might have even sent it to me, Don. It said, you're now entering the mission field when you walk out those doors. That's no joke. When you walk out those doors right there, we're entering the mission field. But we're entering it with a letter from the king. No one can touch us, Brother Matt. We're entering it with a letter from the king. We need to march out with Jesus and start building the walls in our communities. The walls of confidence, church. The confidence of our communities have shot. They've went to pieces. The walls of concern. The church seems like they're not concerned. They're concerned about driving their fancy cars and getting to church so everybody can see them. Shame on us. We need to have a concern for our community. Get out there with our work shirts on and our work pants and pull up our big boy pants and get out there and do something and work for God in the communities. The walls of concern. The walls of character. The characters of the churches have went to pieces, Brother Matt. You've got leaders of churches that are molesting little boys in one of the biggest churches in the world. Shame on us. Shame on us. We got leaders of churches that are just pounding the money out of people, of old people, trying so they can get a jet plane or an air conditioner for their doghouse. Shame on the characters of the leaders of the churches today. I don't think Jesus ever had an air conditioner. I know he didn't have a jet plane. He rode a cloud. We need to rebuild the walls of compassion, The church house shows no compassion anymore. We don't show any compassion. We're not out there beating the bushes. We're not out there mad in the jails and trying to get people to be saved. We're not out there beating the bushes and talking to ones on drugs. We're not out there doing what we need to do. We're just happy living the life that we live, going home every day, going to wrestling meets every weekend. We're just happy doing these things. We're not about God's business. Where's our compassion anymore? The walls of centrality, or the center of your community. We're not the center of the community anymore, Brother Matt. It's Walmart. It's the movie theater. It's something worldly. It has nothing to do with the churches anymore. The walls of centrality. The walls of communication. The communication from the church that you get anymore is somebody turning their finger upside down saying, "You're going to hell." I know Brother Doug jokes about it and everybody laughs and they cackle, but I'm telling you, we see it at work. When a guy talks about he saw two homosexuals kissing and all he did was point at them and tell them they're going to hell. Well, yeah, if they don't change their ways and get saved, they're going to hell. But that's no way to help them in. You know what that did? That just sent two young men to hell because they ain't ever going to listen to somebody who said that they're a godly man if they want to hear about God. Shame on him! That's not how we win people to God. Where's our compassion, church? The walls of charity. Where's the charity of the church house anymore? Where's the, I ain't even going to go there. I'm going to go to the next one. Our church is really good with charity. I have to say, I have to lift up our leaders for that. The walls of communion. Communion. Are you out there communing? Are you out there bonding with the people in your communities? Do we even go outside our houses for anything anymore? I know my kids are too stuck on the video games to even go out and be with the kids that lives in our community anymore. Are we concerned about communion in our communities today? We are the body, right? What's the Bible say? We are the body, right, Brother Matt? We are the body. We need to work to heal our communities. We need to work to change the direction of our cities and our counties and that our state is heading in. We need to work at that. And you might ask, how do we do that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. We got our letter from the King. And like I said earlier, church, if we take this letter and we open up, this letter means nothing unless you open it up. And you open it up and you read it. When you read it, it comes alive. Then you take that letter, Brother Matt, and you apply it to your lives. And then when you go out into the world's going to see a change. They're going to see something that you have that they want. And listen, church, if we can get this in our communities, if we can get this in our cities, in our counties, in our state, in our country, it'll change, Brother Matt. You've got a letter from the King, church. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? My daughter wanted me to tell a story this morning. It doesn't really go along with my sermon. Do I have any time left? What's the time? I went a little bit over. She wanted me to tell a story. And I tell this story usually the first time I go to a church. And almost everybody here has heard it, but not everybody's heard it. Story of Joe Henry Hankins. Church, this is an altar call. I'm going to go ahead. If y'all want to get ready, come up. Zach, where'd you go? Get ready to play a song. I'd look around. I didn't see. I got to see him. He's in that nice flannel shirt. Oh, yeah, hey, flannel's the thing today. Listen, church, Joe Henry Hankins, true story. Joe Henry Hankins, the son, he was, I think he was 9 or 10 kids in his family. Joe Henry, his mommy was dying, so he goes to see his mommy, and he figured she wanted him to preach the sermon, the funeral. So his mommy says, "Joe Henry, I want you to go over to the countertop and I want you to get that notebook I got out there." He goes over and gets it. So now I want you to open it up. Just like that letter I'm talking about, we got to open it up. He opens up that notebook. At the top of the page was the first and the oldest kid, and her name was Sarah. And under that, every little thing that Sarah had done that mommy knew about, mommy wrote it down and she prayed about it. So he opens up and she says, "Now, Joe Henry, I can't read." My eyes, my sight's failing me. I want you to read it to me, and I'm going to pray while you read. So he's reading and she's praying for all these things for Sarah to give her life to God. When he gets to the bottom of the page, she goes, okay, turn the page. It's the next kid and the next kid and the next kid and the next kid. And it finally gets down to Joe Henry Hankins. Joe Henry was the youngest. Not only was he youngest, he was a preacher and the only kid that was a Christian. So he says, Mama, please don't make me turn the page. She says, turn the page, Joe Henry. You got to see. So he turns the page, and there at the top of the page said, Joe Henry Hankins. But there was nothing underneath it. It was blank. And he said, I don't get it, Mama. There's nothing there. It's all blank. She said, I forgot to tell you, baby. When you give your life to God, I tore those pages out and I threw them in the fire. And they're gone forever and ever. That's how it is with our God today. If you're sitting back and you're saying, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, you're sitting back and saying, I've never been saved, there's no better place than right here and right now. Because He will not only tear those pages out and throw them away and burn them up, Brother Matt, He'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Amen, church. If you will, start playing. Church, listen. If you're sitting back, let's all stand. If you're sitting back today and you need a prayer, you need... Yeah. Come to the altar today. Come to the altar. Church, if you feel like you need to pray for the church and your communities, come to the altar. If you feel like you need to pray for your pastor, come to the altar. If you feel like you need to pray for anything, come to the altar. Let's fill Him up today. Let's pray and praise Him for everything He is in our life today. Amen.